This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And where were you on this day in 1969? I don't think you were even a twinkle yet, Hunter.
I can tell you this right now. My parents were seniors in high school on this date in 1969. I guess they had just graduated high school because summertime.
I had just turned six, and I remember staying up late and watching. All we had was a black and white TV. Of course, this is the day. On this day in 1969, the Apollo 11 mission landed on the moon. Back on Earth, an estimated 600 million people watched the historic moment live on television, roughly one-fifth of the world's population at that time. The mission had three crew members, of course, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins. Collins piloted the craft that would return them to Earth so they didn't get to go down. But Armstrong and Aldrin became the first two people ever to walk on the moon. I just remember the buildup to it. Again, I had just turned six, so I would have been in like kindergarten, going into first grade that fall. And I do remember being allowed to stand, because I think it was like 11 o'clock at night, or it was way past my bedtime as a little teeny kid. But I do remember the excitement. And then after that, because that kind of kicked everything off. And of course, we had Tang, which is gross. And then the grody little space stick things, but we ate them anyway because cool. And you'd get like the lunar rover and your Captain Crunch. So it was very cool.
Well, it's really, you know, the run up to just the space race, this idea that we need to be the first ones to the moon. All of it built up so much excitement and anticipation. Yeah, no wonder they let you stay up a little late to watch this, because really a world-changing event.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned world-changing too, because I remember the entire world celebrated. It wasn't, the Americans did it first. Everybody was celebrating this monumental human achievement. Because, yeah, President Kennedy set the tone in 61 and kind of put the call to action out there and said, we're going to do it. Unfortunately, obviously, as we all know, he didn't live to see it. It was huge. And, yeah, it was a worldwide thing. When you think about it, 600 million people. And, of course, we've lost the monoculture. You'll never really have that again unless everybody's streaming it or something. But it was a big, big, big deal.
Yeah. And I think it's a great day to, you know, with all of the tinfoil hats of, you know, was it really the moon or was it a soundstage?
Yes, it was the moon.
Celebrate that it was the moon.
Have you seen that? What's the movie? It's about Neil Armstrong with Ryan Gosling. What is it called? First Man. It's actually a pretty decent movie.
Okay.
Just kind of the challenges, the personal side of Armstrong, and he lost a daughter, and so it's actually a pretty good biopic. And I like Ryan Gosling, and I thought he did a good job. So anyway, yeah, that's the big thing happening. I'm sure there's other stuff that happened, but I'm kind of like, we'll just go with the moon. We'll go with the moon.
Well, the only other, you know, I mean, you know, maybe there's a whole bunch of things on this date scrolling through here, but I go in 1988. One of the best Christmas movies ever came out.
88. Okay, see, I don't have the list up, so I got to try to guess. Christmas movies.
It stars Bruce Willis.
Oh, Die Hard! Yes!
Yes. A summer blockbuster centered around Christmas.
Christmas. I know. Is it a Christmas movie? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
They're celebrating Christmas at Nakatomi Plaza. It is a Christmas movie. Also want to talk about, too, because this weekend, and I talked last week, I was going over to a wedding. So I spent the weekend in Seattle, Ballard. So that's the Ballard neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Ballard is like a little city within a city?
It's one of the suburb cities. You know, Seattle, downtown Seattle right there, you know, they are their own. It's just like Portland compared to, you know, some of the outskirt towns and everything else. Ballard is northeast a little bit of Seattle?
I guess. We had to go, we took the toll road, I guess, so that we got there quicker. All I have to say is we stayed at the Hotel Ballard, which was an absolutely sweet, cute little boutique hotel. One of the most comfortable hotel beds I've ever been in. It was really nice. And the venue there where the wedding was this really nice venue. It was a lovely wedding. We had so much fun. I danced. I danced a lot, and the wedding was beautiful. But I have to say, Ballard was a cute, very safe, lovely neighborhood. I did not feel weird or scared or unsafe or anything. I was very pleasantly surprised.
Well, I had you know, they're all, I believe, deceased now, but I had a lot of great aunts and grandparents and everyone else lived in Ballard, especially. It is a suburb. It is a predominantly older crowd.
Uh-huh.
You're around the Ballard Locks, which of course are the way to get from Puget Sound into Lake Union. So it gets a lot of activity, but they do an amazing job of keeping that area pretty clean. And I just sit here and go, and that's one of the big challenges. And we always talk about, why are people still voting for leftists with all of this? And I go, Ballard is a great example. It's safe, it's clean, it's community friendly, but yet 5 minutes down the road it is a homeless epicenter and drugs and businesses failing and everything else. And I go, these small communities are able to keep it out of their communities. And I would guess 70% of the people in Ballard probably never leave Ballard itself.
I know I wouldn't leave Ballard, and we didn't. We popped in, we stayed for the weekend. I have to say, I saw a lot of young people. There were a lot of people on e-bikes and scooters and things like that. I saw there was a farmer's market setting up when we were getting ready to head home. I didn't see a lot of closed storefronts. Everything was very vibrant. It was really fun. It had great energy and a good vibe. And again, I wouldn't leave, and we didn't. I didn't go into Seattle proper.
Yeah, well, and there's the challenge, is you have a large community, plenty of wealth in the Ballard area.
Yeah, definitely.
And liberal socialist policies allow those people to really feel good about themselves because they're taking care of the poor downtrodden, but the downtrodden aren't allowed in their area.
They're over there. We did see like a tent little condo thingy when we were first coming in, right on the outskirts. And the mustache did see a guy rummaging through the garbage, pulled like out a cup of ice or something and took a sample of it. Ew. But other than that, it was just a lot of people out enjoying it. I saw all ages, all mix. We ended up having to walk a couple of blocks from the wedding venue to the hotel. Other than my feet hurting me because I was in heels, which I never wear, it was great. And it was a beautiful night. So I have to say kudos. And it was a lovely area. I was so happy that it was just nice and lovely and wonderful.
Yeah, well, that's the fun of those outskirts areas, is you don't have to get into the downtown corridor.
So the other thing I heard about, too, and I don't know if you've heard of this, I guess it's a Seattle thing. Have you heard of Jimothy?
I have not heard of Jimothy.
Okay, Jimothy. I found out about Jimothy. One of my nieces, this was my nephew's wedding, and so all the cousins and everybody were there, the kids. Jimothy is this little raccoon who's like gone viral in Seattle, but he's got like a spine problem. So instead of being like a regular long-bodied raccoon, he's sort of crunched up. He looks like maybe a five-year-old drew him and the drawing came to life. And Jimothy, somebody like took a video of Jimothy. I did not see Jimothy. I can't stop saying the name Jimothy. It's like in Buddy the Elf, that's fun to say. But yes, Jimothy is the thing. You'll have to look it up.
I saw the video this morning, and I don't know, but that would kind of freak me out to think that there's a raccoon rummaging around and see that go, because it doesn't look like a raccoon.
No. Is this a chupacabra? What is this? What is this thing? And he kind of runs like on his tippy toes. It is a little creepy until you realize he's got a spinal deformation kind of thing. There's a name for it. I didn't look it up. But it's very odd. To me, it looked like a five-year-old kid's drawing that came to life.
Well, this is Seattle, so those things could happen.
it could happen. Anyway, if you have not, go look up Jimothy. It's a thing. And then it's my new favorite name, too.
There you go. The next generation is going to be full of Jimothys.
Jimothys! All right, let's go ahead and take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Well, and in speaking, of course, of Rich Duncan, we need to wish him happy anniversary. Rich Duncan Construction is marking 25 years. 25 years. Of course, a sponsor of the Newsmakers at Noon show. We love him and the great work. I mean, it's been a while since we've had him on. We need to remedy that. Mm-hmm. But of course, I remember when he got on my radar was back when they did the Blind School Move That Bus Guy. What was the name of that show?
Oh,
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Move That Bus, the cute little skinny guy. Yeah. Well, okay, whatever.
What are those number of renovation shows? We'll put it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, and they redid the haunted house there, and they redid their dorms. And I think that was in 2010, if I recall. And so they are celebrating 25 years, and I think that's great. There's a really great article over at SalemBusinessJournal.org. It was 3 days ago. Again, they're celebrating 25 years. I mean, we see Rich Duncan signs all over.
Yeah, and what a massive influence on the community. A lot of our especially commercial buildings and stuff are through Rich Duncan, and we appreciate everything he does for us here at the station. So
yeah, absolutely. Okay, switching gears. This one, I didn't see a lot of people acting too surprised. I think most of us figured this wouldn't make it to the ballot. I know we've talked about it a lot. Chris Dudley actually posted this a couple days ago. Oregonians can breathe a small sigh of relief, with the caveat of for now, because these things always pop back up like bad pennies. Mm-hmm. IP28 failed in its first signature verification hurdle, but the fight isn't over yet. They're still reviewing. This isn't going to be on the ballot. I just don't think it is. I think it is such an albatross for the Dems that they're going to do whatever they can to make sure that it doesn't get to the ballot.
Well, you know, we can go through and go. They turned in plenty of signatures. So the initial reaction was, oh, goodness gracious, it is going to be on the ballot because they've got the signatures for it. I then heard a lot of rumblings on social media, especially in conservative circles, saying the Democrats are going to find a way, and Tobias Reid and company are going to find a way to make sure this doesn't hit the ballot. And not because Tina Kotek already has come out and said, I don't agree with this. So I don't think it is from the perspective like with the taxes, where we can link the two directly together and say, vote against her because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they move the taxes so that can't happen. But what I think the bigger concern for the Democrats running the state is, if this were to hit the ballot, this alone could wake up a massive amount of conservatives that tend to not vote simply because this would absolutely destroy rural Oregon 100%.
Oh, without a doubt. And I have to say, they need to be voting anyway, even though this isn't on here, to try to, you know, too big to rig with all the Portland shenanigans. Because I know we were talking off air. It's like, yeah, there's probably a lot of people that would have been, okay, I'm not mean to animals, I'll vote for this. This is also part of a larger continuing effort to strip Second Amendment rights from Oregonians, because it isn't only about hunting, but that's a big part of it.
Well, and that's also one of the things they sold it on is hunting, fishing, and animal, you know, cruelty. Those were the big selling points to get this to the point it is. So it also lets you know that the Democrats truly believe if this hit the ballot, there's a decent shot it could pass, simply because of those people in Portland who are like, I don't hunt, I don't fish, I'm not cruel to animals. Yes, of course I'm going to vote for this. And then, of course, if this were to pass, now the whole argument of, well, you don't hunt with your guns, so why do you need those guns?
Exactly right. Ding, 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 ding. Yep. So it looks like it was like 19% or something. But again, this will be back. And I think this was just sort of the first little shark bump. Let's see what happens with it. And everybody saw it for what it was. But, you know, they're very good at, you know, wordsmithing. And let's just take a word and let's change what it means. And you got to use it this way. And yeah.
Well, and the other thing is talk about the need to get out and vote this November comes to, if we continue with the same leadership we've got with a supermajority, it's more likely something like this will gain traction.
Yes. Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. So, I don't think it's going to appear for now. And I'm just seeing a lot of friends that, you know, that have been involved in Oregon politics for a long time. It's like, are you really surprised by this? And it's like, no. Again, this would have been an albatross around the neck of the Democrats if it had been positioned smartly by the Republicans.
Yes. And that I think is the worry, but it also goes to everything we know, that when the Democrats control the governor's seat, they control, you know, the House and the Senate and everything else. They control everything about Oregon. They can do a little gerrymandering in what you get to vote for, such as taxes and bills and fees and whether or not you get to vote to outlaw animals.
Right. And of course, you know, we're having the Secretary of State's office, the ballot titles and the abstracts and things like that. And again, to appeal to the crowd with the anthropomorphized, well, Jimothy. Oh, my gosh. They'd use Jimothy.
They would fully use Jimothy. And I just sit here and go, we talked about it in the first segment. Ballard is a community that you could almost sit there and say the vast majority are going to go ahead and vote for something like this simply because they're not out hunting. They're not out fishing. They care about animals. They care about Jimothy. They care about the fish that are going through the locks. They care about all of these things so much, but they don't see what the results of that vote would truly do to people.
Yep. So, and again, I never say never in Oregon because measure 110. That's all I need to say. Measure 110. Okay. So another story that I saw, and this one, I think even Lars was talking about this, you know, the jab and stuff like that. What we're seeing is a lot of doctors who did the right thing, frankly, and bucked the whole COVID crap that was going on. I almost swore there. Whoops. Can I say? No, I can't. So charges dropped against Dr. Kirk Moore. He's a hero who handed out, quote, vaccine cards and administered saline solution instead of the COVID jab, the poison. He said, I did the right thing. I just did the right thing. And I think, and I've seen another where we're starting to see more and more of that. Of course, we all know the voices and Dr. Malone and Dr. Corey and a bunch of other doctors who were just silenced, stripped of their licenses. I mean, it was absolutely horrible what happened. So I'm glad to see this sort of this vindication coming in where these people are, it's like, hey, I was right. I told you so. I'm fine with saying I told you so.
This is, for me, I always look at these kinds of situations and what you see is the government saying, give this jab. We are going to financially and legally protect anyone giving these jabs. We are going to protect the manufacturer of these jabs. And we are going to, you know, make anyone like, you know, Dr. Moore here the bad guy because they're not willing to go along with the narrative that we have set. They're not willing to give out the jabs. We're paying people to do this. We're doing all these things. And I go, you got to logically question when the government is willing to go that far, what are they hiding?
Yes. And when I remember all the propaganda and the where I was working, it was like, I think you could get a Krispy Kreme donut if you got the jab. And then it was like, of course, the video of former mayor de Blasio shoveling French fries and a hamburger into his mouth. And it was ridiculous. And then also a lot of state workers were being bribed with $1,000. You get the booster, here's $1,000. And so these people kept pumping this poison. Frankly, everyone I know who did that is constantly sick now. They're constantly fighting something.
Yep. Well, I mean, we kind of all suspected. For me, I had a relative who actually got COVID. Okay. Got COVID, came out the other side just fine, went to see his doctor for a checkup within a week after, you know, being done with COVID.
Yeah.
And the doctor said, you need to get the jab more than ever. And I go, that's not how science truly works. He got the jab and was very worse sick after the jab than he was when he had COVID the week before.
Yeah.
So I sit here and go, one, we know that's not how science works. If you get something, you're less likely to get it again.
Yeah. Remember natural.
They hate natural immunity.
What is it called?
Natural immunity.
Immunity. something.
That was the enemy of the state right there.
It just, when you look back on it, it was all so crazy. So I'm really happy to see things like this coming to light. And you just think of the propaganda and all the BS that we were fed. We mean the arrows and the masks and the 6 feet, which is all just arbitrary crap that people just swallowed. Okay.
I laugh when I go into a place and I still see stickers on the floor.
The arrows on the floor.
And, you know, distances. I've been to a couple of restaurants, not here in Salem, that still have stickers on the floor. Some of our schools still have stickers on the floor.
Wow.
And I just sit here and I go, to think we bought into that.
Well, not everybody bought into it. Again, I've always put the caveat. The first 2 weeks, nobody knew. And it was, I remember being freaked out. And you've talked about your wife and the jug of hand sanitizer. And so we all didn't know what it was. But eventually, when you started seeing the propaganda and when you start seeing what's his face from Stephen Colbert dancing around with a bunch of syringes and then sort of deifying Fauci, the Fauci ouchie and all of this stuff. And I do, President Trump, this was at the beginning of his term. And you look at Fauci and Miss Scarf Lady Burks or whatever her name was. I still want to see Perp walks here. We're not going
to
see him.
Well, it goes to the announcements from President Trump last week. Why aren't these people being held accountable? Because he pointed out a few things that he wasn't being informed of as the president towards the end of his term.
Yep.
Why isn't this right there with all of those things? Because the way the government reacted in almost every election cycle, we have some kind of outbreak that we're supposed to be afraid of. And yet it's always just fallen to the side and disappeared. So I sit here and go, why at the end of Trump's term, we're in election season, we get an outbreak, and all of a sudden this one is so different than everything else. So I understand why it created the panic, but now I have to wonder, was the president even properly informed on what this was really all about?
Yeah. Good questions to ask, of course. All right, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour news. And that press conference did happen Thursday after we went off air. We can chat a little bit about, not a lot, the national guys are kind of covering that.
They covered
nauseam.
A lot of it.
So,
and of course, the leftist media is saying, no, none of that is real. It's all fake.
And nobody saw it. Well, they censored it. They didn't let people even see it to make up their own minds. That's you can't hate the media enough.
And that may be the bigger point of that whole thing.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. Hat tip to the mustache. The show was Extreme Makeover.
You figured it out. I guess that tells us more about him than it does about us.
Well, we were down there. He was on city council. And so we were down there and we were watching it all happen. It was exciting. It was a big deal in Salem. It was really cool.
Well, that's always the good thing, because you always wonder with shows like that, is this all just a bunch of paid actors standing around to make it seem like a big deal?
No, they had
firsthand experience.
Yep. It was down. A lot of people were down there. It was really, really cool. And I think it went a long way to, really upping Rich Duncan Construction's profile. That went national and they did a great job with it. Of course, everybody, I don't like haunted houses, and I especially don't like haunted houses where there's real people in them. I'm too scared. I freak out way too easily. So I've never been in it. I hear it's awesome. The last haunted house I was in was I think it was in high school, and somebody in it actually grabbed me, and I've never recovered.
I think my kids a few years ago went through the haunted house.
Yeah, it's really cool. Okay, so Thursday, after we went off air, the big speech, which I watched. Mm-hmm. And again, his speaking style, it's like, okay. But it was interesting to hear the gist of it. And again, all of our national brethren and colleagues have been talking about this. I did post out on social media on my page. So when are we going to see arrests? That's what I want to know. I'm like, why weren't there arrests happening while this was all happening?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing is they announced this speech. And realistically, I don't think it would have gotten the viewership it did if it wasn't for ABC, NBC, CNN, and these other networks saying, we're not going to air it, and creating this aura of something big is happening that they don't want you to know about.
Well, it sends the message. If you're not even going to show people that, what are you trying to hide? CBS, ABC, NBC, MS Now, whatever you are. That's really what the message it puts out there. I have a lot of some family members and acquaintances that, will never watch anything. They'll never believe any of it. And I'm like, I don't care whether you believe it or not. You weren't even given the opportunity to watch it. Mm-hmm. So Be quiet.
So a lot of the social media, as these networks are announcing they're not going to carry it, then all it kind of became a little bit along the lines of they're going to make announcements, they have proof, they're going to declassify information.
Yeah.
So people are going to be running scared. But like you said, why announce it? Because now you've given anybody that knows that they might be in trouble for it time to flee, time to disappear, time to do whatever they need to do. Granted, a lot of those people, I believe, are too self-righteous to believe that any consequences will ever fall on them.
Well, and apparently I think we're not alone. Like I posted that on the 16th, which was that night. And yeah, a lot of people, I would probably say probably won't. Truth be told, somebody wants to see tribunals. A lot of people are saying it just won't happen, never happen. We've been told to be patient. These things take time, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Another person said, well, wouldn't you rather have them have all their ducks in a row rather than them go all willy-nilly, you know, common sense? And I'm like, of course I'm always for common sense. But the general gist of things, another post on here, I think she's thinking that they will do it. There are investigations, charges, arrests happening all over the country. Okay. Todd Blanche is doing a terrific job. Things don't happen overnight. Trump and the administration are up against a corrupt shadow government deeply embedded in every branch of government, the judicial system, politicians, prosecutors, D.C., and every state foreign adversaries since signing of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. So Kathleen thinks that stuff is going to happen. She's kind of in the minority on this text because most people are like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It needs to happen. Will it? I don't know.
Well, here's one aspect of it and one way to really think about it. You know, you said you have friends and some families and acquaintances who won't listen to Trump because they believe he's just a lying bloviator.
They hate him.
You're justifying that stance to people by not putting the criminal element in front of them.
Yeah.
The perp walks, a trial, tribunal, whatever it is. Once that becomes something that happens, now even the people that hate Trump, you're going to break through that shell because now you can't deny it, especially if they see and hear about somebody who gets arrested for election interference or lying to the president or whatever the scenario is. They see them go through a trial and get sentenced. There's no more denying that what he's saying is correct.
A lot of these people are, this is now their identity.
Well, yeah.
This is what they eat, breathe, live, sleep, is their hatred for this individual, their hatred for anyone who supports that individual, to the point where a couple of the people I'm talking about have cut off their own parents because they don't agree. So I don't know that presenting actual facts, tribunals, charges would make a dent for some of these people.
Well, I'm not saying it will flip them. It will not change their line of thinking, but it will put little cracks. And
yeah.
You got to start somewhere because
a lot of
this hatred, and one of the things that they love to point out are the E. Jean Carroll scenario.
Yeah. Yeah,
which
yeah.
We know all of the fuddy-duddies that got them to this point, and then what, 34 felony counts of accounting, which are really all the same thing over and over again by an accountant. So you go, they're latched onto those as reasons behind their thinking. So you start putting some of these little tiny cracks. You're not going to change them. You're not going to until they're willing to accept reality. But it will present the cracks where now when Trump is out of office and somebody is looking to replace him, they no longer have the boogeyman, even if it's Vance or Rubio or somebody else following in his footsteps. The boogeyman himself is out of the way, and some of what he said might have had some teeth in it.
I don't know. You know, well, I guess we'll have to see. They are already trying to make, you know, boogeyman number two, J.D. Vance. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, they welcome their fourth baby, J.D. They have the cutest kids. Mm-hmm. The little girl, is it Mirabelle? She's so adorable. And they welcomed Alec Neil Vance. He was born on Sunday. And, you know, J.D. Vance is AWOL. It's like, are you mad? His wife just had a baby. He's with her. He's with the family. Gosh.
Well, that's the thing. Any little type thing they can point at and make a big spectacle of.
And the thing is there is a big swath of the population that eats every bit of this up, and it feeds them. I mean, it's the weirdest thing. And there is no breaking through that really hard shell for a lot of people. But there's a cute picture of the two of the kids. I don't think the older boy is in that picture, but they're just so cute. Mm-hmm. They were born at Walter Reed. And I think this is the first time in many. Okay. The last son. Okay. It's been a while since a baby was born to a sitting vice president. The last one was a son born in 1870 to Vice President Schuyler Colfax, who was president, he was President Ulysses S. Grant's VP. So there you go.
Well, I just sit here and go, and that may be one of those little underrated things about J.D. Vance being the vice president, is realizing this is a relatively young family, and family values are important. Family values are lost in a lot of things going on in today's society. So to see this, you know, may soften some of those borderline hearts. Not the extremist hearts, the borderline hearts. No.
Some people just, their hearts are so seared and they're so hardened, you're never getting through. And I don't waste my time on them, frankly. There's no getting through. They just need to be defeated. But the other side of it is, I mean, you're looking at Marco Rubio now, and everyone's like, who are you on, Team Vance or Team Rubio? I like both, but I really like Marco Rubio.
Well, what happens if Rubio, I'm guessing both will run for the Republican nomination.
Trump could just say, here's my heir apparent.
Well, I could definitely see a Rubio Vance ticket coming up.
You want Rubio at the top?
I would think Rubio at the top, with Vance still very well positioned to follow Rubio.
Yeah. There's a video going around. You know that Medea Benjamin with Code Pink? She's this mousy little woman who goes up and kind of, you know, she tries to confront people and get in their faces. She confronted Secretary Rubio in the hall somewhere. Secretary Rubio, are you going to call for a ceasefire? Nope. This is all on Hamas. What about the babies? 100% Hamas's fault. They need to stop using people as human shields. He handled it brilliantly. And then it was like, make sure you post this. Put this out there. And they did. So.
Well, especially if you think that... you know, the opponent's ticket would probably have that Southern Belle from New York, you know, as their vice president, AOC. Southern. Did you see the video
Southern.
Of her
no.
giving her Southern? She was down and talking about, you know, I think she was in Memphis, Tennessee, and how they need to, you know, not let these Southern states be. And she just gets this very Southern drawl to her.
So she's pulling a Hillary Clinton. Remember, I ain't no ways tired. And Hillary carrying the hot sauce in her purse and everything. These people are so fake, but they get votes. Yeah, that'll be interesting. It's been interesting to follow what's going on in Maine trying to replace Graham Plattner. That's been hilarious to watch.
Oh, my God. That video, pretty
Ashley?
Much people are, yeah, I'm getting messages from people that pay no attention to politics whatsoever. Going, have you seen this video of this guy?
Is this real?
Well, I think the irony of it is, what makes you run? Well, I would never lie to people. I'm going, you are a guy in women's clothing. You're lying to people.
Right now. And then is this actually Graham Plattner? Did he shave and put on a wig?
Well, so the other one is that there's some social media posts from this guy.
Yeah.
Talking about how he believes that his internal organs are all female because he has a period. But because he doesn't have woman parts, the blood comes from the other side.
Can we just stop doing this stuff now, please? The guy needs help.
Well, he needs a doctor if that's happening. Mm-hmm. He needs to figure out why he's rectally bleeding if that's true. Oh, and I just go, tell me this isn't a mental challenge at this point.
Yeah, and the rest of the panel wasn't really any better. They were just sort of weird and crazy in other ways. I mean, it was embarrassing. If that's the best they got, and if Republicans can't beat that, we got bigger problems. Good grief. So anyway, congratulations to the first family. They're lovely. Of course, the J.D. Vance meme with the chubby guy, they've got the big, you know, it's just social media was interesting this weekend because I was doing a lot of driving. So I was on it and looking at all of this stuff. So, yeah, scrolling. All right, let's go ahead and take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
So there's another video that's kind of going viral. Brandy Cruz posted this one. I don't know exactly where it's at. Obviously, it's at a college somewhere, a community college. I'm not sure. Of this blue-haired guy who loses his stuff. I mean, he goes completely, and the cops are there. They're trying to talk him down. He was complaining about something. They come in, and of course, all of this is on body cam. It's like a, I don't know how many minute video it is. It's way too long.
It's an eight minute video.
Mm-hmm. And he just progressively loses himself and completely is out of control. They're trying to, and at that point, he's screaming expletives at the officers. And again, these officers have the patience of Job, and they're trying to talk this guy down. He's screaming about being misgendered, like that's the biggest problem he's got in this situation. And they're ready to, they're saying, I'm going to spray you if you don't do this. And then they finally end up tasing him, but he's just, he wants them to leave him alone. He is so mentally ill. It's just, it's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, it seems like it's a random meeting to a certain extent. I believe that they might be have been called because of his behavior, whatever the reason, right. The officer showed up.
Right.
But the first minute and a half, 2 minutes of it is them trying to really diffuse the situation. And the guy pretty much, you know, you're scaring me, you're coming at me violently, or this and that, you know, making all these accusations against the officers. They're standing a reasonable distance away from the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But they're referring, they're saying, you know, the moment he hears a he or a, instead of a she, then acting out. The moment they begin to get closer to him, he cowers, and then he kind of lunges at them.
Right.
And I go, right. Now you've pushed it.
And the officer told him that. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, once he did that, then he tried to kind of flee behind a gate and things like that. They managed to finally corral him, but then he refused to put his hands behind his backs and this and that. And I am just going... Tell me there's not something mentally wrong with this person, not understanding in this belief that I'm just going to get away with this behavior.
Right. And that's the thing. And I think this person, this individual was surprised by that. And it looks like there was some kind of a dorm guy or somebody in there trying to help out. And the bottom line is that towards the end of the interaction, he was finally in handcuffs. But what they had to do to get there, and it's like, I don't know what I did. He said, you needed to comply. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You can sort it all out later. But you need to comply. So this kind of goes hand in hand with another stat. And this is Oregon, and this is disturbing. Again, when you start putting cross-sex hormones into people and you start messing with people's biology, this was posted out, I think, on the 18th, Wall Street Journal. Oregon is pumping children full of hormones. The state pushes teens towards transgender-related diagnoses and dangerous treatment. In Oregon, 1 in 65 girls receives a transgender-related clinical diagnosis. And this was between 2016 and 2023. 1 in 240 receive hormones. Kids in Oregon were almost 20 times more likely than kids in Mississippi to have a, quote, gender dysphoria diagnosis.
Sounds like a bit of an agenda-driven scenario to me.
Yeah, a little like you get yelled and screamed at if you say it's a bit of a social contagion. You know, those things that take hold and all of a sudden when they had, you know, six girls in one school are getting pregnant. I mean, all of a sudden it just... 2 minutes ago, we all knew there were two sexes,
well,
two
genders. I always go to the celebrity activists who, you know, have three children and all of them are transgender. The odds of that being a biological scenario are absolutely below zero at that point. This is a full-on social contagion influenced. Because it shows me as a parent, I'm part of the solution instead of part of the problem.
Well, and you see, I mean, the doctors, there's a notorious doctor up in Portland. I can't remember. I think he was profiled in What is a Woman? But you've got parents that don't know what to do. They're very concerned about their children. I mean, the mental illness on that, gender dysphoria, social pressure, societal pressure, Hollywood pressure. And so you've got parents trying to deal with this. They want to save their children. And then you get, would you rather have... Yeah. A living son, or I mean, and you get that kind of manipulation. There's a lot of detransitioners out there. Chloe Cole comes to mind right off, who's out there screaming from the rooftops that she doesn't blame her parents. They were just as much victims in this as she was.
Yeah. And that's where the bigger challenge really lies is, you know, your kid is acting out. this is puberty. It's a very confusing age. I've dealt with it a couple of times. I've got to deal with it a few more times. Taking your child to someone who, you know, is about gender dysphoria, that becomes their big talking point to the parents, is the suicide rate. The suicide rate. I had a friend who told me, he said, if this was such a big issue, and gender dysphoria is nothing new, it was a common back then, kids were just more afraid, why didn't we have in the 80s and 90s massive amounts of suicides?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't. It is so much social in today's world. And rather than have the adults be the adults and say, you're going through puberty, your body is changing, things are confusing, let's work together to get through this, they're saying, here's the easy way out. Take a pill.
Well, and of course, it goes to the broader picture of victimhood and oppressed and oppressor and the education system. And instead of what used to be, you're a tomboy or you're an effeminate boy and you'll be, and most kids, the number's pretty high of kids that grow out of it. You couple that with kids, 14, 13, 14, mm-hmm. having complete medical autonomy and parents being locked out. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been to a doctor's appointment where they're like, I want to talk to little Susie or Jimmy alone. And it's like hell you are. No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, it was a little shocking the first time taking our older kids in and them saying, nope, they get to decide all of these things. What?
Wrong.
But I get to decide all the financial side of it, don't I?
You
I get the
to
financial
pay for it.
Liability, don't I?
Yeah. And I hope that we're seeing the trend where this is kind of coming. We're not doing this so much anymore. If the Wall Street Journal is doing this and a lot of people are paying attention, this is the author of the piece out there. New data and documents obtained tell the story. So there is a story to go out there to actually do some research. And again, you've got politicians pushing this, executive orders like in Oregon from Kate Brown, mm-hmm. mandating it. The curriculum in schools, the books. I mean, there's been a lot, very, very inappropriate where you've got parents trying to take them to a school board meeting and read them to the school board members who get all, oh, I can't. But you're going to let, a 7-year-old read this? Are you out of your minds?
Yeah. We are so backwards, especially in this state right now, where I, at this point, the saving grace has to be our November elections. We're not going to change the world electing a Republican governor, but we are going to slow the trend a little bit.
Only if the Drazen campaign talks about this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of kissing babies over the weekend. I think there needs to be some real hard, tough conversations. And this is one of those that needs to be. I mean, Oregon, again, 1 in 65 girls.
Mm-hmm. That is a crazy, crazy number. And of course, Oregon, one of the states that's putting their foot down and saying, we're going to let boys keep playing girl sports. We want to eliminate girls. That seems like the message to me. Maybe I'm reading between the lines a little too much, but as the father of a bunch of girls, I'm going, that's not what I want to know. It's not what I want to see. It's not what I want to hear.
No. And parents really need to really step up. And I would never let my child be in unless I knew the doctor really, really, really well. But how many times do you get 5 minutes with the doctor?
Does that happen anymore? Come on.
It does if you're a little more rural. But so that is definitely definitely concerning. So all kinds of stuff. You've got to be watchful. You've got to keep your eyes open. You can't bury your head in the sand. I mean, you've got to know what's going on. And with the news media not covering Trump, you got to go look for it. You got to find it.
Mm-hmm. Or listen to some of our national hosts all over the station, because they've been talking about it for a couple of days now. So,
Yep. The information is there for you to find. It's our due diligence. We need to go ahead and we need to do that. All right. We got a big show, kind of a military bent show tomorrow. That's going to be interesting. We're going to learn more about the Lacey Lady tomorrow. So you're going to be sure and join us. Have a great day.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.